Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord in Jesus' name. We praise God in Jesus' name. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We welcome each and every single one of you on this afternoon, on this morning, on this evening, wherever you're listening to me from, wherever. If you listen to me in Tokyo, Japan, if you listen to me in the United States of America, if you listen to me in Bosnia, wherever you're listening to me, we say God bless you on today in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God for being here in Jesus' name. You know, if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed in Jesus' name, not because of my voice, not because of any power of my own, but if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living in Jesus' name. And that is a reason to give God praise. We say again, welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. This is the show that gets your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Amen. We praise God today for the topic today. We praise God for, first off, I want to say, give glory and honor to God who is the head of our life in Jesus' name. I want to give honor to my pastor and my first lady in Jesus' name. I want to give honor to all the Spirit Live Network family. In Jesus' name, and our founder of the Spirit Alive Network, Bishop Cook, amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. On this afternoon, we are here because the Lord has given us a thought on today, a topic on today to talk about today. And if you've seen the news, we know that on this past week, that if you saw the news, that the young man in Hollywood, he was a known DJ, dancer. I guess he was those two things. He was on the Ellen. He was a DJ on the Ellen DeGeneres show. He's known as Twitch, passed away on this past week due to suicide. And this is where, and other things that brought this topic to light today. This is where the Lord gave me this topic on today. We have a lot of people in the world that are searching. They are searching for life. They are searching for life in all the wrong places. And in their search, they are grabbing after things and going after things, and they're doing this and they're doing that, and they're just trying to find that life, such as various Hollywood stars, you know, people in that are not in Hollywood. They're searching for life. Hollywood stars are searching for life in all the wrong places. They're searching for it in drugs. They're searching for it in money. They're searching for it in houses and cars and in fame and in fortune. And yet they get this stuff. People get this stuff, but they're still hungering after more. They're still thirsting after more. Today's topic is titled, and I believe the Lord granted this title to this topic today, is He That Hunger and Thirst. Like I said, we have so many people going after all things. We see so many people gravitating to different things. They're gravitating to things of this world to try to please and fill their souls. It's nothing but a soul thing. I'm going to say that before we get started, before we get deep into this, it's nothing but a soul thing. It's nothing but a soul thing. When a person cries out, and I'm not talking about naturally crying, because natural crying does fall in there, but I'm not talking about the natural crying right now. I'm talking about when you cry out wanting something. That is in the spiritual. That is your soul crying out. And the only way a person can be filled is by the love of God. You might try to seek that fulfilling or being filled in many different areas. But your soul will never be filled the way it should be until a person finds that fulfillment in Christ. I'm just going to be point blank today. I'm not going to be apologetic about it, because there is nothing in this world that can fill you like the love of God. There is nothing that can fill me. I can have all the money and all the cars and all the clothes and all the houses, but it cannot do me like Jesus. I used to say it as a child, growing up in testimony service. I love my mama. I love my daddy. But they can't do me like Jesus. I love my brothers and I love my sisters. They can't do me like Jesus. And as I got older, I love my nieces and I love my nephews. But they can't do me like Jesus. I can have the latest and I'm about to hit the young people too. I can have the latest shoes. I can have the latest video game. But that can't do me like Jesus. Nothing can fulfill us. Nothing can, that craving, that hungering and that thirsting, nothing can fulfill that for your soul but Jesus. Just like we naturally get hungry and we naturally get thirsty, our souls hunger. Our souls thirst. The woman with the woman at the well, she was thirsty. We all know the story of the woman at the well. She was thirsting after something. We might say, well, she went to the well. She was naturally thirsty. Yes, she might have been naturally thirsty. And yes, natural water does quench the natural thirst. But what she was thirsting after was something for her soul. And Jesus knew this. Jesus came and said, well, And I'm paraphrasing y'all. Jesus came and said, "Well, I got something. I got a water that you might never thirst again." The reason why we know that she was thirsting after, her soul was thirsting after that love. She was thirsting after love. And the reason why we know that she was thirsting after love is because she had more than one husband. And the Bible doesn't specifically say that she was married, but she was with a married man. She was craving affection. Her soul was craving that affection, that wantingness. And she was searching for life, searching for that life in the wrong place, such as we do as people today. We search and we search and we search, but yet it doesn't fulfill us. It doesn't feel that empty and void place in our life. It does not feel that empty and void place that family member left. See, I'm going deep today. We have people that have lost loved ones. We have people that have lost things. We have people that are literally losing their minds because they feel like they have nothing. But we that are in the body of Christ, we need to offer Jesus unto them on today. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. And today I say unto this radio broadcast, all of the listeners that are listening on today, I don't have much, but all I have is Jesus. If I don't have anything else more, I give you Jesus today. I give you Jesus. I give you Jesus on today. When we talk about the name of Jesus, there's something great about talking about his name. He is what he says he is. He said he is a brother, a person that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He told us in his word that even if our mother and father forsake us, he will take us up. When you are by yourself, he said he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. If you don't have a father today, he said he'll be a father to the fatherless. He said he'll be, if you have no mother today, he'll be a mother to the motherless. This is what Jesus will be to us in these last and evil days. He said that he would be there. Even if we made our bed in hell, he would be there for us. This is what Jesus said. This ain't something that we just got off the top of our head. But this is something that Jesus has let us know that we can have. This is part of the benefits of Christ. We've talked about the benefits of Christ before. Well, this is one benefit that everybody can take a part of. Having Jesus. You may not have all the money in the world, but you can have Jesus today. Just like the woman at the well in John chapter 4, verses 7 through 15. This woman at the well. Matter of fact, I'm going to read that to you. There cometh a woman from Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Verse number 9.
Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered, and he said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Verse number 12 says, Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which give us the well and drink thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Verse number 13 says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, and I love this part, because this part is not just for the woman at the well, but this part is for everybody. Everybody that living, his own people. Hallelujah. This is for everybody. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him and a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. This is how life is. This is how life is. And when we live life, and sometimes we feel on top of the world, we feel like our well is full, or we feel like our water pots are full. We're living life. We're on the high of life, and we're looking for nothing, because we're living life. But we have those moments as people where we got to come back to the well. We got to come back to the well, just as this woman did in the natural, to get more water. And I'm using this as an example. In life, we have to go back to the well. And whether it's a well of drugs, whether it's a well of addiction, and when you deal with a person that is dealing with alcoholism or drugs or whatever they might be addicted to, they're always, and this is what I've been told, is that when a person that is on drugs, if they're a virgin at doing drugs, they get that first high, and that first high that they ever got feels like the best high, and they become addicted. They become addicted. And then for years, they go chasing for that first high. And that's what keeps them keep coming back to the well of drugs, trying to get that first high that they ever got. But I'm here today to tell you and anybody that's listening on today, if you have a hunger and a thirst on the inside of you, if you keep coming back to the well of life, keep searching and keep searching, are you in your mind? You keep searching after that first, you know, that first go round. I give you Jesus today. I give you Jesus today. I don't have any special, you know, prayer cloths or none of that stuff. I'm not coming with that today. Never came with that. But all I have is Jesus. This is very, very important, because we have so many people that are dying. We have so many people leaving this world, committing suicide. We have so many people overdosing on drugs and having heart attacks because they done drunk themselves to death. Because they were unhappy. I was looking on Facebook, and they had this picture on Facebook, and it was of like maybe four or five, maybe six Hollywood stars. And I think two of them were comedians. But they all had one thing in common. They all had different fields in Hollywood, but they all had one thing in common. They all committed suicide. And they all had another thing in common. They were all unhappy. But when you put the prestige on and they have a saying out there, fake it till you make it. Don't do that. I'm here to tell you about life today. Don't fake it till you make it. Don't fake it till you make it. Please, if you need help, go get help. This is a very, very serious thing. I'm being dead serious when I say this. If you need help, now I have nothing to go against. I have nothing against going to the doctor. I have nothing against going to the doctor. The woman with the issue of blood went to the doctor. She saw many physicians. But I give you Jesus today. And if you need help, if you are crying out for help, usually my pastor and my bishop, he was talking about this in Bible class last week. And many people that commit suicide and leave suicide notes, they're crying out for help. And I know, and you might say, well, this is, why are you talking about this during a happy time and Christmas time and all of this stuff? Why are you talking about this stuff now when it's supposed to be a happy time? It's supposed to be a time of giving, and it's supposed to be, well, guess what? We're giving today. We're still giving. But why are you talking about all this heartache at a Christmas time? Because it is a hard time. Still a hard time for some people. Some people are going through right now, and you don't even know it because they got a smile on their face. They're smiling through it. Some people, look, let me show you something. And it's a cliche in the church. Because some people are even going through in the church. Some people are going through in the church. Do you not know that there are young people going through in the church. There are young people not just going through it in the world, but going through it in the church. They done dealt with molestation. They done dealt with people bullying them. It's a hard thing to deal with. And you have nobody to talk to. Look, let me tell you something. If you need somebody to talk to Jesus. If you really need somebody to talk to, you call this station, and we will talk to you and we will pray for you. See, this is what ministry is about. It ain't just about getting up on in a pulpit and having a Bible and a tablet in front of you and you hacking and spitting all over the place and all that stuff and you trying to sound all good. No, that ain't that. That's not. No, this is the true ministry. When you can tell somebody, call if you got a problem, call in the radio station. Let us pray for you. Come on, somebody. You need to talk to somebody. Look, we will stop. Me personally, I will do like my former pastor used to do. My former pastor used to always say, somebody needs some help, somebody want to be saved, you can stop this service right now, and we will baptize you in Jesus' name. If somebody called in, that makes me want to ask the question to the saints of God. And I ain't talking about the Spirit Alive Network. I'm talking about the saints of God in general, the body of Christ in general. If somebody stopped you on today and said, brother, sister, I need to talk. I need to talk to somebody. Will you stop and just let a person vent? Will you stop and talk to them? Will you stop and just hear them? Or will you have a Phariseeism spirit and be like, I ain't got time? We got so much stuff to do on a day-to-day basis. I know. I understand. I know this. I know. We got to go to work. We got to do this. We got this going on. We got that going on. But sometimes we need to take a time out and just being able to let people talk to us. Not just people that you don't know, people in your family, your children, your husband, your wife. See, I'm going deep today. See, this ain't just about people that you don't know. Yeah, it's just for people that you don't know. Sometimes do we sit down and talk to our husbands and our wives and just ask them, are they all right? Are you okay? My wife gets sick and tired of me sometimes because I ask her all the time throughout the day, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you all right? Is everything okay? Baby, are you okay? She gets tired of me doing that. But I do it because I love her. Because I can't read her mind. As much as I love being a husband, as much as I love being a father, I can't read nobody's mind. I am not Jesus. And Jesus ain't no mind reader anyway. He just knows your thoughts before you think them. That's the thing. Do you love people enough to ask them, are they all right? Can somebody bear their problems on you? Are you that shoulder that they can cry on? That's what ministry is about. Will you be there when they need you? Look, let me tell you something. And I did not mean to go here. I know this is about hungry and thirsty. This is why people are going through what they're going through today. Because they have nobody, because they have nothing to cry out with. I remember back in the day, back in 20 2010, 2011. There was, I was coming down to the end of, you know, me really, really, as a child, everybody knows, I've talked about it before. As a child, I used to love watching pro wrestling on TV. Got a lot of wrestlers that I like and, you know, watched and stuff like that. But there was one wrestler back then that I used to watch, and his name was, and he used to have a saying, he was the voice of the voiceless. This certain wrestler used to say he was the voice of the voiceless. He used to speak out for people. He didn't like the way wrestling was being done, so he would speak out about it for people. They didn't have an outlet to speak. They would give them, they would give him their problems, and he would speak out about it. Well, today, will you be that voice of the voiceless for somebody else? Will you let somebody bear their problems, vent to you, and you give them solutions, good, holy solutions? Because every solution ain't a good solution. They're hungering. People are hungering and thirsting after their soul is hungering. Their soul is thirsting. They're hungering and they're thirsting after life. They want life. People want life. They want to be able to live life in a good mindset. The Bible lets us know that he will keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. If we give them Jesus in a loving way, not to bash, not to beat, not to pry, not to, and in love, show them how to love. Some people don't know how to love because they've never been loved before. Some people don't know how to love people. Some people don't know how to love their husbands or their wives because they've never been in love before. I can use one of my brothers, my brother. My brother and his wife, great couple. My brother, Marquis, I love him. I love all three of my brothers, but I'm closer to one of my older brothers, because I'm the youngest, and I'm closer to him. And growing up, we used to hang out together and all this stuff. And his wife, when she first came to the church, before they got married and before they started dating or whatever, or courting, me and his wife, we were best friends. We would talk all the time at church and, you know, all of this stuff. And when they started courting each other, you know, the love he had for her, because she didn't know what love really was, and the love that he showed her was beautiful. Because at first, to tell you the truth about it, it's very funny now, but my sister-in-law, she wasn't my sister-in-law then, but she didn't like my brother at first. She thought that he was just big-headed, you know. And I'm not talking about funny big-head. I'm talking about you just didn't like him like that. Like, no. Because everybody talked about my brother, Marquise, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she didn't like all that. She didn't care that he had a name in the church and all that stuff. And you know, he was this and that and all that. She didn't care about all that. And so every time she heard his name, she was like, oh, whatever. But he started loving her, showing her what love was. And she was drawn to that. Now, I know that that's on a husband and wife level. But I use that as an example because do we show love to people? Do we show godly love to people to draw them? It makes you ask yourself, and I want you to think about this. If you are in the body of Christ, how many people are attracted to the love of God that you have on the inside of you? How many people daily are attracted to the love of God that is on the inside of you? And I'm just asking a question. I want my Spirit Alive family to come on in and have words to say, or anybody that has anything that they might want to say. I know it's early, but I want y'all to jump in on this and have words to say about this topic on today. He that hunger and thirst. He that hunger and thirst today. So the floor is open to anybody that wants to have words in Jesus' name at this time. I thank God, first off, I thank God for my Spirit Alive family. I thank God for my church family, but I thank God for this topic because we have so many people, so many that are going through something. And this is why I brought this up at Christmas time, especially at Christmas and New Year's. We see the suicide rate. We see the depression rate going up, skyrocket. It skyrockets through the holidays. I say around Thanksgiving, when it starts going into Thanksgiving and leading on into the Christmas season and into New Year's, going into that New Year's, suicide rates go up, depression goes up. And the reason why that is because a lot of people have lost family members. A lot of people have lost things. A lot of people, some, I'm not going to say a lot, but some have lost a lot. Like it's one thing after another. And so I want my Spirit Alive family, the ones that are on, and just have words to say in Jesus' name about this topic. Does anybody have anything that they might want to say or anything? Or
praise the Lord, Minister Togel. Yes, I really appreciate you speaking to this today because it is so important that we learn to reach out and we learn to get beyond ourselves. And unfortunately, one of the things that we're really struggling with as a body of Christ is that we are not hearing what Jesus Christ was saying with the first and great commandment and the second great commandment, and understanding that all of the commands are wrapped up in that. And it says to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we get that automatically, right? We understand what that means. But then
right. He
says to love others, and we hear that and we understand what that means. But because it says, as you love yourself, we almost don't hear that as you love yourself at all. And so, unfortunately, what that means biblically is that it shuts down the ability for us to obey and do the first and second great commandments, because the key part is loving ourselves. And
right. It
says love others as you love yourself. And if you are not loving yourself, you are not able to love others. You are not prepared to love others because you didn't hear what it said in the word. Now, Furthermore, we can go a little further. Those who are exploiting the sheep, those who are exploiting God's people by turning the word of God into religion, what they say is God first, others second, and myself third. That's what they say. And it is so that they can get money from people, so that they can control people, so that they can manipulate people. And that's not what God is saying. God is not saying God first, others second, myself third. God's not saying put yourself last. God is saying after you love me, love yourself, and then love others, even up to your enemies, right? So now, if the law of Christ is the law of love, in order for us to be able to do what you're talking about today, right, we have to take loving ourselves seriously and allow that to start with loving God seriously. And then after we've done that, by studying God's word, praying, fasting, fellowshipping with like-minded believers, then insert yourself into the life of the people right in your house or wherever you happen to be. In your house, at work, at the shelter, wherever you are, in your mansion, your maids and your servants, whoever you're around, your driver, whoever you are dealing with. After you love God, after you love yourself, then you're able to speak into the lives of other people the love that you're experiencing through your relationship with God, right? And until we get to the point where we're teaching relationship, all the other stuff is just going to be stuff you're doing, filling time with activities without fruitfulness. And God desires that our walk and our life with him is fruitful and gets past the mechanics of ministry, right? And delves into the nature of the heart and letting the stony places of our heart being removed so that we can be fruitful in our work with Christ, because now we're beginning to forgive. Now we're beginning to heal. And now we can speak to others about how we were forgiven and healed and how we forgave others and helped to heal others. As we walk out this love walk, it is perfecting our love walk that gets rid of fear, right? And fear is what's destroying most people. You think, I'll tell you what one of my biggest concerns was as a father of six around Christmas time. Christmas time for me was always a test. It was not fun for me necessarily because it was a test. It was a deadline, you know. You have to make Christmas happen. That's a lot of pressure on any young man. And I can tell you that all the way up till the end, you know, even though I have a relationship with God, even though all these things are there, I was so relieved when I no longer had to do that anymore. All my kids are grown.
I now know what to look for when my kids get grown. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
There's an end. Brother, there's an end. This isn't forever. But now the joy is to be able to say, look, whenever I give now, you know that's voluntary, right? And when I give to my grandchildren, that's voluntary. But as a parent in the house, Christmas can be a test for some people. So if you buy into this idea of what Christmas is, right? So now, if you really look at what your kids actually want, what they really want is your time. What they really want is your attention. What they really want is actual love from you, not stuff, because stuff you can get anytime, really. But if you took the time to really sit down and get to know your kids, you're not spending all your time chasing money. It's the saddest thing in the world to see these people who are unable to spend time with their children, right? And how valuable that is, because that's what they're going to remember. They're going to remember whether you were there or whether you were not there. And so it is with that we say we're ministering to, right? If those that we speak to never hear from us, never see us, people call us, they call themselves our pastor and they've never been to my house. They ain't never called me, never sent me an email, never even touched base on Facebook, right? That should be seen as spiritual negligence, you know? Someone who
it really is.
It really is. It is. You not doing your job, right? I'm like, are you serious? And the same people, when they do see you, will judge you for how you look or what you drive or what you're wearing or what they've heard about you on the street. Instead of coming to find out what's actually going on with you and can I help? Can I pray for you? Can I minister to you? And we show our level of concern by what we do. And once we get past all this talk, talk is cheap. Talk is so cheap. And when you read the Bible, and I'm not just saying the New Testament, when you read the Old Testament, you read about God doing and the men of God doing and God working. And that was before we received the Holy Spirit in us, right? These people were operating on an ad hoc basis whenever the Holy Spirit, whenever God caused the Spirit to move through men he chose, right? And women he chose and children he chose. And now we all have the Spirit in us and we act like we don't have power. And that is not loving God. So I thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I hope that you can continue to elaborate on what you're sharing because you're hitting it hard, brother. God bless you, minister.
Thank you. I love this because when we get the core of this, when we understand the core of this, it's not about the cars. It's not about the clothes. It's not about the money. It's not about none of that. Because all that's going to, you know, fade away one day. But a person's soul lasts forever. My child's soul lasts forever. My wife's soul lasts forever. My mother and father's soul lasts forever. That enemy that you think you have or you thought you had or whatever, their soul lasts forever. And it is up to us to be that bridge over troubled water. I know Jesus is the bridge over troubled waters. I know this. We can't save people. But what I am saying is we can share love to them. We can give light to a dying world, to a dark world, to a dark and dying world. Today, right now, I just went to this past Thursday. I went to my son's school, my middle son and my youngest son's school. And, you know, they were having their winter parties in their classes in their elementary school. And, you know, my youngest son, he's six. And I, you know, me being daddy, you know, me having the responsibility of taking care of three children and taking care of a wife and keeping a roof over our head and, you know, all of that stuff. It's hard for me to keep mental notes of a lot of things. You know, that's why I love my wife. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. she keeps up where I don't remember things. Some things I don't remember, forget about, things I forget about, she remembers. Amen. But I remember I went to my son's school. I went to my son's school on this past October. And I stopped in and, you know, just to check on both of them. And in my youngest son in his classroom, I sat in his classroom and I watched this young man, not my son, but another young man. I mean, he was acting up, I mean, and the teacher in me, because I teach young preschool kids at my daycare. And the teacher in me wanted to, go with this little boy, like, hey, what's going on? But it wasn't my classroom. So I was like, I just sat back. And this young man starts, he's about my son's age, 6 or 7 years old. The teacher tried to get on him and stuff because he was doing something that he didn't have no business doing. And the student started cussing out the teacher. And the teacher was looking like she was getting ready to pull her hair out. And I'm just sitting there, and she literally said, Mr. Tuggle, can you help me? And I'm looking, I'm like, what? I'm just here to see my son. You know, I'm here to see about my son and everything. She has, now this lady has 25 students in the classroom. When you got 25 other students and you got total of 25 students, 24 of them ain't acting up, but 24 of them are doing different things, and you got one acting up. That's the task. And so she said, Mr. Tuggle, can you please help me? I know you're a teacher at a daycare, so can you help me? You know what to do. And I called her by her last name, and I said, I'm really not supposed to be, because I'm not a teacher here. And she was like, it's okay. Can you just help me? And I'm like, I said, yeah, sure. So what do you need? And she began to tell me that she needed somebody to talk to this young man. And so I took him to the side and started talking to this young man and found out why he was doing this. Found out why this young man was doing this. And I began to tell the young man, I began to talk to him and everything. And, as far as my students are concerned, I don't yell or scream at my students. I don't. Now, my children, that's a different story. They're mine. But the reason why I do that is because they're not, the students that I have are not my children. So I try to do a different method when it comes to other people's children. Because some people, I don't know what goes on in other people's homes. And I don't know what those children are dealing with. So I'm sensitive to the needs of those children. I don't know if they get yelled at in the home all the time or what. So I try to be sensitive to the needs of those children. So I try not to, I don't yell and scream at them. I try not to. Anyway. But when I was talking to this young man told me what was going on. And I went back to the teacher and told her. She said, I've been trying for a whole hour to try to get what was going on with this young man. And she said, it took you like 15 to 20 minutes. 15, 20 minutes to understand what this young man was going through. And now I'm able to, talk to his parents about what was going on. And it was something going on in the home. But because somebody sat down with this young man and his behavior was under control after that I saw, but it was because somebody sat down with this young man and talked to this young man. And yes, and I'm going to tell you this, this young man was Caucasian. And here I am, African American. It don't matter what color it doesn't matter what color they are. They can be blue for all I care. It's the love of God that's on the inside of us that allows us to help people. Have you Amen. Shown somebody the love of God today? Doesn't matter what age bracket they are. Have you showed somebody the love of God today? Now, I went back. This was back in October, and I told every student back then in my son's class, I said, well,
I heard some stuff about y'all. You know, I heard some stuff from y'all's teacher that y'all haven't been too nice. I said, the next time I come back, I said, I'll bring y'all some treats if y'all, you know, I get a good report the next time y'all come back. The next time I come back, I'll bring y'all some treats if y'all, you know, more nice and more obedient to y'all's teacher. And I went back this past Thursday. Now, in the middle of October and November, I was talking to my son's teacher. And I got the report from her, and she told me, oh, yeah, these kids have been doing great. And, you know, overall, these kids have been doing great. They've been doing great on the schoolwork. They've been doing great there. But, okay, I'm going to do something good for the class. I'm going to do something good for my son's class. And yesterday I went, and, you know, they were having their party, whatever. And they had food galore for their party. And so I went over there to see them. And the love that they had, because the last time I was there, I sat and talked to each child for a few minutes. Sat near their desk and talked to a couple of them, and then went to another desk and sat and talked to them. And because of that, now my oldest son, he's in middle school, so I care about his schooling, but I don't have to be up there as much, you know. So my two youngest, I'm up there at their school a little bit more than my oldest. Amen. But the love I saw on Thursday from these children, not just from both of my son's classes, but from the students in general, because they were getting ready for a Christmas program that night. And I was going through the hallway and with the principal of the school. And the principal, I was walking through with the principal talking to him, and all these children were in the hallway because they were passing through, going to the gym. And I knew a couple of them. I knew a couple of them from the neighborhood. I knew a couple of them from churches I fellowship with. And I knew a couple of them from, you know, the daycare. And the kids that knew me, they bum rushed me too. They bum rushing me, giving me hugs and stuff. Why? Because the love of God was shown to them. People know if you love them or not. People know if you love them. And you don't have to tell a person, look, let me tell you something. You know the best way to witness to somebody? And I know that this topic was about he that hunger and thirst. You know the best way to win a soul? You know the best way to win a soul? Don't tell them that they're going to hell. Don't beat them across the head and tell them that, well, if you going to hell. If you don't get this sin together, you going to hell. Now, that might be true. That might be true. But you don't need to tell them that. Tell them how to be saved. They know, they are, I guarantee you, that sinners and people that are outside the ark of safety, they know that if they continue in their sin, they go into hell. They know this. They know this. They don't need to hear it. They need to hear, look, and when I say, now, I'm an old school preacher now. I'm from the old school. I had an old school preacher. I got old school preachers in my family. But they don't need to be beaten. Souls don't need to be beaten. You liable to attract more with honey than you can vinegar. That's how Jesus attracted people. Jesus attracted people. And this is no, look, this is no prosperity teaching and all that stuff, because I don't believe in prosperity teaching.
the way they do it. They don't preach on sin. They don't do none of that. I'm not talking about that. Because I'll preach against sin. Anybody that know me know I'll preach against sin in a heartbeat. My own sin, I'll preach against it. If I'm doing wrong, don't you follow me. You need to come on here. I come from that line, that spiritual bloodline. I'm preaching against sin and standing full force on the word of God. Because I deal with people, and I dealt with one person in particular. I'm not going to say their name. But one time I have a family friend that is out there in a lifestyle, in a certain lifestyle. And they know that they know that their lifestyle is wrong. But I told them at the beginning of them living that type of lifestyle, they said that they were born this way, and they were born that. I said, you know, I didn't beat them. They know I love them too. And I told them, and I did it just like I did it so sweet. I said, well, guess what? Let's just say, I know it wasn't true. I knew it wasn't true that they were born that way. I knew it wasn't true. God made me like this. I was born this way. Not true, but okay. You say that you was born this way. Okay. Well, yep, you're right. You are born that way. You are born and shaped in sin. A person is born and shaped in iniquity. From your mother's womb was sin upon you. You came into this world a sinner. We ain't got to name the sin, but everybody is born in sin. But what does it say in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5? When Jesus told Nicodemus, that you must be born again. So I told that individual, I said, well, you're right. You were born that way. You were born in sin. You sure were. You were born in sin. Now, that lifestyle that you're living, you wasn't born that way. But in sin, yeah, you were born in sin. Yep. I was born in sin. You was born in sin. Everybody was born in sin. So come and get born again. Come and get born again. If you believe that you was born that way, okay, come on. Come on. Come on and get born again. Come on and get born of the water and the spirit.
Preach.
Come on and get born of the water and the spirit. I had a man, and I've talked about this before. It was a man that I before I got married, I used to stay a boy. I used to stay downtown at the mall. Anybody that knew me knew I used to stay downtown at the mall. Because I used to love, before I got married and had children, I used to love the clothes shop. And I was downtown one summer, and I had just got done shopping and everything, bought me some new clothes and stuff. I was single. I was by myself. Amen. But I had came out the mall and was ready to go home and was waiting on my bus. And this young man stopped me and said, I got this good stuff. I got this good stuff over here. And he pulled weed out of his pocket and wanted to sell it to me. And I looked at him and I said, no, thank you. I don't do that. I don't do that. No, thank you. And as I walked away from that young man, the Lord stopped me and said, stop, uh-uh. Lord said, he offered you something. Now you offer him me. You offer him me. And I turned around. I'm like, Lord, wait a minute. This guy right here
he looked like he ain't trying to listen to no Jesus right now. Like he trying to sell his stuff. He trying to be about his business or what he think is business. Cause I mean he was big. He was way bigger than me. And the Lord said, go back and stop him and offer him me. And I'm like, well, Lord, what should I say? And the Lord said, I'll give you what to say. Because you got to be all things to all people to be able to, for them to come and hunger and thirst. We have to do it like Jesus did, with the way he dealt with the woman at the well. He didn't just come out and start blasting her with all the sins that she did. He ministered to her first. He ministered to her, and he didn't even blast her out when he said that she had husbands. He didn't blast her out. He told her in a loving, compassionate way about her sin. He was still telling her that she was wrong, but yet he did it in a loving way. Amen. But I went to this young man. I mean, he was tall and to think, just like those Pharisees in the Bible, they was like, well, they asked Jesus one time, why would you hang out with them people? Why would you hang out with them people? And this young man, he was thug life. He was thug life. And I ain't know nothing about no streets. I ain't know nothing about thugging and all that stuff. But here I am going to this young man. I said, young man, I said, come here. He said, you changed your mind? You changed your mind? You want to buy this stuff? Uh-uh. No. I ain't changed my mind. But since you offered me something, since you offered me that, I thank you, but no thank you. But since you offered me that, out of the kindness of my heart, I want to offer you something. He said, oh, what you want to offer me? I said, I want to offer you something better than that. I want to offer you something better than them drugs you got in your pocket right now. I said, the drug that I have is better than the drugs that you have in your pocket. I said, I didn't have to pay for it. I can get high off of it. I can get drunk off of it. I can do anything, and I can have hangovers, and I feel so good afterwards. I made it sound, I did, and the Lord gave me the words to say to him. Even gave a title to the drug too, amen? Because I ain't just come out and just say the Holy Ghost. I said HG. And when I said HG, he was hooked. His ears were hooked. He was like, what? What's HG? I ain't never had that before. And I'm, this is something that you need. I got on his level. I got on his level. And I said, young man, you can get high off this. You can get drunk off this. You could party off of this. And you could party all night long and not have a hangover. You could party all night and not have a headache, not have a backache, whatever. And when you have aches and pains and moans and groans, you can take this and you feel so good when you come, when you go up, and you feel so good when you come down. And his ears were hooked. And I told him, I said, this is it. He said, well, what is HG? I said, it's the Holy Ghost. And he said, ah, man, are you serious? I said, yeah, I'm serious. Yes, I'm serious. I'm as far as such as my name is my name. As such as I'm alive standing before you, I'm serious. I said, it will keep you. It's better than that weed you got in your pocket. And guess what? I didn't have to buy it. I ain't gotta look over my shoulder waiting for the police to come. If I'm arrested for the gospel, I know that I'm still safe.
If I get arrested for preaching the gospel, I know that I'm still safe. Amen. And that young man, he said, well, where can I find that? I said, Acts 2 and 38. Acts 2 and 38. You follow Acts 2 and 38 and get the Holy Ghost. I bet you the Holy Ghost will be better to you than them drugs you got in your pocket right now.
Preach.
You'll be able to give that all up, and you'll be able to live a holy, righteous, and royal life. That's the way you do it. That's how you do it. And then that way, we'll have less people hungering and thirsting. We got more people hungering and thirsting than ever before because they have nobody that they can talk to. They have nobody that they can confide in. They have nobody that they can just tell their problems to. Yes, we can give them Jesus, but sometimes they need an ear to hear. They need an ear that they can just talk to. I have a best friend right now that's been my best friend since high school. And anytime this person needs to talk to me, I will drop everything to talk to them. Why? Because they've been there for me. Now, do I tell them everything that goes on with me? No, because I'm holy. Not that I'm better than them. I'm not saying that I'm better than them by a long shot. But I've learned to keep some things to myself because I don't want them bearing everything that I go through. And I give it to Jesus. I know the mindset. I have the mindset of Christ. I know what to do. I know to go to Jesus. There's some time where I need to unload sometimes. Even in walking with Christ. That's what our pastor's there for. That's why I say we can't even go around in the church and tell all our problems to everybody. Don't do that. Don't go around telling your problems to everybody. Because everybody can't handle it. But let me tell you something. If you find, and Tyler Perry said it best as Medea. If you can find, he put everybody in the category in his life in the category of a tree. Some people are like leaves on a tree. Some people are like branches on a tree. And some people, very few, are like the roots of that tree. Amen. And if you marry, let me help you marry folks. I've been married almost 6 years, and I know I ain't been married long. But let me help you. If you have your spouse, you should be able to talk to your spouse. Now, does my spouse know everything about me? No. No. Do I know everything about her? No. Do I know everything that goes on with her? No, because I'm not a mind reader. She's not a mind reader. I got to tell her when I'm hurting. I got to tell her when things are going on. Why? So that she'll know. If you don't have communication, I said that to say this, if you don't have communication, if you can't talk to each other, something wrong. We have a lot of people that are in marriages that they can't talk to their spouse. And your spouse should be your best critic. Your spouse should be your best critic. I'm just saying. You should not be telling, if you are a husband, in my 6 years, I've learned now
I've learned. Because I've had friends down through the years and a couple of my friends were not all male. A couple of them were female. And when I first got married, I thought it was still cool for me to talk to my male friends and my female friends about everything. Now, nope, because you don't never know who's watching you. Nope. And it's definitely not good for you to talk to everybody about your marriage. Not even sometimes your family. But it's good to talk to each other, though. Keep the main thing the main thing. It's good to talk. It's good to talk to each other. It's good to have a good line of communication with your friends and your family. It's good to have a good line of communication with your mother and your father. Should they be in the land of the living, call your mama, call your daddy every once in a while. Not even once in a while. It should be, because if they're up in age, call them. Definitely call them if they're up in age. Amen. And if you got grandmothers and great-grandmothers living, call them. Check on them. Amen. Call and check on them, because you never know. That's what we're talking about today. That's what we're talking about today. Keeping that line of communication. Amen. We got one more show after this. Next week. Next week is Christmas Eve. That's our last show of the year. Amen. I'm done, but this is our last show next week. Next Saturday is our last show of the year. And next year, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give these couple of announcements, and then I'm going to leave y'all. Amen. Because I got a couple of things that I want to get off my chest before, as far as the summit is going after the New Year's. After Christmas Eve, the summit will not be on it until next year on the Spirit Alive Network. Everybody knows this, that we've made announcements about the network going on hiatus for everybody to be able to celebrate with their families and be with their families. Amen. But on this New Year, I don't know about everybody else's show. I don't know what God has given them. But I'm going to give you a little outline on what God has given me for this show. We will be talking about the first show is, or one of the first shows that we're going to have, is one of them is going to be titled, Do Black Lives Really Matter? I did this show on my podcast, and it was very, very controversial because of the fact they were, I had a person ask me about that show, and they were of African-American descent, and they got upset with me about that show. Because they thought I was talking about, you know, coming against my own race and this thing here. And I said, no, I wasn't coming against them. But what I was coming against is us coming against each other. What I am coming against is that us coming against each other and against other races. This thing with race and color and creed, it's no time for that. We got enough hatred in the world to last a lifetime. But we ain't got enough love. We should have enough love to outweigh the hatred and the racism and the ostracism that's going on in the world. This love, the love of God, the love of people, the love of humanity, the love of being united should outlast hate, bigotry, whatever you want to call it, racism, whatever you want to call it. It should outlast it. But we got so much going on in the world. We don't need no more hating and division and all this stuff. The devil loves division. The devil loves division. And that's one of the things that has divided the church, and that's one of the things that has divided people, divided races, put up racial barriers and put up all different type of barriers, division. Now, I will say this. When it comes against the work of God, then that's a different story. When the devil tries to bring in a plan that comes against the work of God, that's a different story. That's when you take a stand for righteousness. But when you start bringing racial barriers and all this stuff and there's a line that needs to be drawn. So we're going to talk about another show that we will have is we will be talking about the line between the church and schools, because we got a lot going on in that. We got a lot going on with that. The school system, the political system, politics, and the church. We got a lot of politicking going on in church, and we need to get rid of it. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. I love you guys. I thank God for each and every one of you on today. I pray that you got something out of this topic on today. He that hunger and thirst. He that hunger and thirst. The Bible says he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Amen. In the book of Matthew. We need those that are hungering, thirsting. We need to give them that way to be filled up. Show somebody the love of God today. In these last few minutes that I have on this show today, if you have not accepted the call to salvation, I give you the call today. Now, I know many people might say, well, It's all about Matthew chapter 10, verse 9, or it's about Matthew 28:19. Well, I'm here today to tell you, if you want to be baptized, if you want to repent of your sins, if you want to make your calling and election sure, if you want to make your last stop, heaven bound, you must be born again of the water and the spirit. You must be, as of the day of Pentecost, you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ as it's recorded in Acts 2 and 38. And in verse 39 it says, and this promise is unto you, and unto your children, and unto those that are afar off. What does that mean? That means that goes into your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and unto your great-great-great-great-grandchildren. And as many as the Lord thy God shall call. We have to save ourselves from this untorn generation. Because there is a God out there. And we do have a final destination for our souls. That's why our soul is hungering in these last and evil days. That's why our souls are hungering after life. And God has given us life in him. And the only way to receive that life in him is to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you have sin on your life, you can't live life the correct way without that sin being remitted off your life. I ask this question, I'm getting ready to go. Where will you spend eternity? If the Lord was to come back today, where will you spend eternity? Or if the Lord was to call you home right now, or if the Lord was to call you when this broadcast ends, where will you spend eternity? There is a heaven and there is a hell. Where will your soul spend eternity? Because your soul will live on after this life. Where will you spend eternity? It's up to you. If you follow Acts 2:38 and live a holy and invested life in Christ, then you will spend eternity in heaven. If not, there is another option. Amen. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bishop Cook, we thank you for allowing us to come one more time. Bishop Carver, thank you for listening in on the spirit of all of my Spirit Alive family. I thank God for you. Triumph in faith. I thank God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go to church tomorrow. Have a great Sunday in Jesus' name. Have a blessed week in Jesus' name. And until next week, which will be Christmas Eve. Amen. We praise God for it being Christmas Eve on next Saturday. We have a great show for you on next week on Christmas Eve. We're going to be talking about, again, the love of God. Amen. On next week for Christmas Eve. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. And until next week, this is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Amen. This is the Spirit Alive Network. This is where your heart and your soul and your mind can be you transformed. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.